Welcome, everybody. We're continuing our study of Ephesians. We're in chapter 5 this week. So if you would turn there, that would be great. And in Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." That's our admonition, because we are God's children, but whether we follow him or not is up to us. As we know from other scriptures, once you're born again, you're born again. Just like if somebody is born into your family born of the father and mother, then that person is in your family. Now, whether they stay with you and are kind to you or disappear and get into some kind of trouble and you never see them again, that depends on them. But they're still your kids. So we are always God's kids. We have his spirit born within, incorruptible seed. A spot is reserved for us in the heavenly places on the right hand of God with Jesus Christ, where we'll end up after the gathering together. But in this day and time, in this physical life on earth, we have a choice to walk with God as dear children. Just like anybody's children do. They can be very kind to their parents and listen to them, or they can just disappear and never talk to them again. And we all know plenty of examples of both. Obviously, the preference is that they walk with you as dear children. And that's what God is encouraging us to do. We're born again. We have Holy Spirit. We've been guaranteed an inheritance. Our bodies will be changed so they're eternal. But we can walk with God or not. So the encouragement here is, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. He loved us, so we are encouraged to love one another. And hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We know in the Old Testament there were all kinds of offering sheep and goats and turtle doves and wine offerings and grain offerings and incense offerings. Well, Jesus Christ was the one offering, the one sacrifice, which paid for all of our sins and gave us eternal life. So isn't that great? We're encouraged to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us for an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now, that cannot apply to us, because there are so many verses we've read at other times, and it's even in my book on grace, where our inheritance has been paid for. We're guaranteed an inheritance. So this is talking about somebody who, right in the middle of the verse, says who is an idolater. So if you get into all the bad behaviors here that it's talking about, to the point that you are an idolater and never get born again, now you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But if you're born again, you already have that inheritance, so that can't be talking about us. Verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain or empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Again, this is talking about those not born again. "Be ye not partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness." You were sometimes darkness. We were. Before we were born again, we had no Holy Spirit. We didn't have the light of God's word. But now, are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Which is the same thing as it says in verse 1, be followers of God as dear children. That's walking as children of light. Now, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit of the Spirit's talked about in Galatians 5, but this, the earliest Greek manuscripts, which are the ones in the uncials, the all caps, they all say the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So we walk as children of light, for the fruit of walking in that light is goodness and righteousness and truth. Now again, not to the point that it gets you born again, but because we're already born again, but to the point that your life is full and rich and you're trusting God. So the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then verse 9 you see is in parenthesis, so we'll skip from 8 to 10. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We're just proving it. We're going out and living it and seeing the results. You know, just like somebody tells you this car accelerates really quickly from this speed to that speed in so many seconds. Well, maybe you want to get out on a track and try it. See if it really does that. Well, to a much greater degree, we just want to live God's word and see how God blesses us, because that's what he asks us to do. What's it say somewhere? Prove all things, hold forth that which is good. Hold on to that which is good. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. And of course, this is the word that means full sharing with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. Now, we can't avoid being around people in the world that aren't born again and maybe rather devilish, but we don't have to have full sharing with them. We don't have to get them integrated into our lives, but rather reprove them. See something that's not contrary to God's word? You can speak up. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest and made evident, even obvious, by the light, because light shines in darkness, and then you know what's going on. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, verse 14, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's a great word. Not as fools, but as wise. Let's see if there are any more fun translations of that. Circumspectly, you know what's going on around you. Let's see. The American Standard, look therefore carefully how you walk. So most of them use the word carefully. Be careful then how you live. That's a good thing. Be very careful how you live. Yeah, I like that. See, then you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Love that. That word redeeming literally means buying up, but it can be translated making the best use of. Make the best use of your time. You only got so much of it, so make the best use of your time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. Just don't wander around getting in all kinds of trouble doing ungodly things. Know what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. It doesn't say you can't have a glass of wine. Just don't get drunk with it, wherein is excess. But instead be filled with the Spirit. And it's not talking about a distilled liquor here, which we call spirits. Talking about the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves, verse 19, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the spiritual songs are when we speak in tongues. We get the words from the Father. You can speak in tongues. You can sing in tongues. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now look at verse 20. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father. Now, as we've talked before, a lot of times when the word and is used, it just means that is or even. Speak for giving thanks always for all things unto God, that is, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear or reverence of God. Let's look at some other translations of that verse, just for fun. May not be any different, but let's look. Some of them says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Oh, look. Everybody but the King James has Christ. Interesting. Let's look at the Greek texts. Yep, the older Greek texts all have the fear of Christ. It's only some of the later minuscules or cursive written ones that are very late have fear of God. Interesting. Well, it doesn't really matter because God and his son Jesus Christ are on the same page. So if you have reverence for Christ, you have reverence for God. If you have reverence for God, you have reverence for Christ. So I wouldn't make a big deal about it. But let's look at that verse again. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of or reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he, Christ, is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Because you're a unit. So if you love the wife, then you're loving yourself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So not only does it apply to the husband and wife, but it applies to Christ as the head of the body, which is the church. And we know that's the great mystery. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. Well, that's a pretty clear chapter. A lot of great stuff. But again, people will take that verse we read earlier to say that if you goof up and do silly things, you have no inheritance. Verse 5 again, for this you know that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man, who is an idolater, big key, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That can only refer to those not yet born again. It cannot possibly refer to us, because our inheritance is guaranteed. So it's a great chapter. We'll wrap up with Ephesians 6 next time, and who knows, we might go on to Philippians. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your kindness, for this time in your word. Thank you for the wonderful saints on the call and those that will listen to this in the days ahead. And may we continue to grow in our understanding of your word and continue to walk with you and love you and trust you and see your great power manifest in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.